That's it. The Chicago Bears have matched last season's win total. Third victory of the season for Chicago. The Carolina Panthers lose to Chicago 17-3. John Fox gets the win against his former team.
Time for the Monday evening quarterback here on the download. 312-981-7200. The Chicago Bears win their second game. Back-to-back wins the first time since 2015. They're now, like you just heard, matched the season total from last year in wins. They sit at 3-4. The name of the game, defense. Unbelievable. The relentless pressure and opportunity. I mean, it was amazing to watch the nonstop rush, pass rush of the Chicago Bears, which obviously helped the secondaries. Eddie Jackson, the rookie safety, had a tremendous game, returning a fumble and an interception for touchdowns, the only touchdowns of the game. But the question is, on the other side of the ball, the Chicago Bears offense sputters. Rookie sensation? Question mark. Mitchell Trubisky had seven attempts. I should say that's a little bit misleading in the sense that he had 13 attempts, but seven. He was 4-for-7 for 85 yards. Not a great showing and really setting records in futility for the Chicago Bears offense. But a win is a win. Do we like winning ugly? 312-981-7200. I do not. Adam Hoag, WGN Radio, covers the Bears. You can find all his great stuff at WGNradio.com/Bears is with us now for the Monday evening quarterback. Adam, great to have you here. Lots to talk about, so why don't we get right to it. The Bears, back-to-back wins. This was something that we didn't necessarily see coming.
Yeah, I mean, although I did end up picking the Bears in this game, and I actually had them winning 30-20 relatively comfortably, but a lot of that had to do with the Panthers and kind of their current situation with injuries and Cam Newton being erratic, and I think a lot of that we saw in this football game. But, Justin, you don't like winning?
A win is a win, Adam. You got to win in the NFL, right?
So here's what I'll last week I kind of defended the offensive game plan with you. I'll bring up some concerns I have this time around. And a lot of it, if I've had frustrations with the offense, it hasn't necessarily been the play calling. A lot of it's been personnel. You know, why isn't this guy getting, Kendall Wright playing more when he's clearly the best wide receiver? Why did Tariq Cohen only get 7 snaps yesterday? And then the other thing I'll say, and this is really, it doesn't necessarily have to go with the play calling as much as just personnel groupings. They're starting to become a little predictable on offense, too. When Tariq Cohen's on the field only 7 times, and then most of those times when he's on the field, you're targeting him or giving him the ball in some ways, well, that kind of tips off the defense, right?
Yeah.
And teams go into deep dives on studies and play tendencies, and it's all on the scouting report every single week. So at some point, they're going to have to get a little bit more creative with the personnel that they have.
You know, I do enjoy winning. There's no doubt about it. And having a Bears team that is more competitive is good for not just for me, but for the city and everything in between. But this is winning ugly in a way that Chicago Bears offense didn't. I mean, it was an embarrassment. It's a joke that only seven attempts. The running game was non-existent. The offensive line didn't make any room for anybody. The offense was pretty bad. I mean, like a lot more punts than first downs. This is stuff that you see when you get blown out of a game, yet the Bears won.
Well, until the final few minutes of the game, the defense had just as many takeaways as the offense had first downs in this game. So, yeah, it was tough to watch offensively. There's no question about it. Some of that had to do with, again, the philosophy that we talked about last week, and I don't think that's going to change. If the Bears jump out to a 2-possession lead, they're going to shut things down offensively. They don't want to give the ball away. And you saw it against the Ravens a week ago. I mean, Tariq Cohen did have a fumble. And even in this game, Mitch Trubisky was lucky that he didn't have a pass picked off in the second half when he overthrew Zach Miller. So they're just trying to avoid those disastrous situations, and they don't really care how ugly it looks.
I guess, but my question, Adam, is that if you're up 2 scores, isn't that the time for the disaster? I mean, so many times we've seen them when they're down 2 scores and Jay Cutler throws a pick 6 and there's the disaster we've all been waiting for. In this case, don't we want to see Mitchell Trubisky in an aggressive stance when he has the opportunity to make a mistake. That's my only issue with shutting down the game and going to punt formation to try and win. We're not going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but John Fox is trying to save his job, and ultimately he needs wins. So I think that has something to do with it. However, I think, and he probably knows this, I mean, the development of Mitch Trubisky is probably just as important as wins at this point. And if the front office decides that what John Fox is doing with his philosophy isn't helping Trubisky, well, then that's going to have just as much say on whether or not he gets a contract extension or is let go at the end of this season. But I'm not sure that they have a problem with this. I mean, I do remember Ryan Pace didn't want to be playing Trubisky right now. So if they're going to be conservative and take it easy and try to let him see as many defenses as possible and just sort of go through the motions a little bit to start his career, I don't think they hate that idea. I'll tell you what, I didn't think Trubisky was all that bad. I didn't think he was great, but he should have finished 6 of 7. Tariq Cohen had a couple drops in this game, including a great back shoulder throw that Mitch threw him that he just didn't turn his head around in time. So four completions looks bad. I didn't think Trubisky did have a couple of mistakes. You can't take a sack to knock you out of field goal range. Right. That can't happen. But the other sacks I thought were not really his fault. You brought it up earlier. The offensive line didn't play well in this game. No. And I thought that was the – if we're going to criticize anything with this offense, it should be that.
And I will say, I made the argument last week that the numbers were deceiving with Jordan Howard's 167 yards. He ran the ball 36 times, and he ran it one in overtime for 50 yards that skewed the numbers. But again, on the offensive line where they're just not opening up any holes. Now, maybe that has to do with the defensive stack in the box, but then you would think that you have this young quarterback that's mobile that can get out and make them pay for doing that. It just seems more often than not that John Fox and Dowell Loggins are using Mitch Trubisky like a backup quarterback. And I know he is, but the point being that that's not essentially what the fans want to see.
That's a great way to put it.
Glennon got hurt, and now we've got Trubisky. And he's the Craig Krenzel of 2017. And I don't think anybody in Chicago wants to see that. That's not what we bought in on Ryan Pace trading picks and moving up and making an exciting move to get this quarterback. He's playing, whether you like it or not. Unleash him. That's my thought. We got a lot to talk about tonight. 312-981-7200. I also want to say it's unfair that we spend so much time on I've been so down on the Bears 2 weeks in a row with wins. Let's come back after the break and talk about this defense, because if there was one shining moment that we will remember from this season, it was the performance of that front. I mean, everybody. I mean, from Eddie Jackson to Leonard Floyd, they showed the potential that we've been waiting to see in a Vic Fangio defense. Adam Hogue, WGNRadio.com/Bears. You can find all his stuff there. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll get at the defense. Stay with us.
3rd and 10 for Carolina. Floyd is back on the field for Chicago. Early stages, second quarter. Newton popped up in the air. Jackson is still going. Another defensive highlight. Touchdown, Bears.
Yeah, it was something else to watch the Chicago Bears defense bring two balls back to the house, fumble return and a fumble recovery and return, and a pick six from Eddie Jackson, the rookie safety. Good day for the rookie class for Ryan Pace. Adam Hogue on the line, WGNRadio.com/Bears. Of course, you can read all of his great stuff. He covers the Bears for the station. Let's talk about this defense. That was what we expected with the hire of Vic Fangio, right? I mean, that was the idea. Everything about that with the two outside linebackers, Leonard Floyd being able to track Cam Newton down, bend not break, but at the same time blitzing. I mean, just out physical. I mean, they were just punching the Panthers in the mouth. That was the best defensive performance I've seen the Chicago Bears do in 4 years, 5 years.
They got some swagger, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I love it.
They're playing with an attitude right now, and it's very impressive. That comes with confidence, and it really, I think, is exuding itself in a player like Kyle Fuller that all of a sudden is just he's the guy they drafted for number 14 overall 4 years ago. But it's starting to come together for him now that he's healthy and he's getting some confidence. That's what you want to see. You know, the one thing that's popping out on film to me, and even just live when you're watching the games, they're fast. Yeah. They got some speed. And that's what it's all about in the NFL. especially on defense. You have to have speed. And these are all, other than Kyle Fuller, these are all guys that Ryan Pace brought in here. You're seeing it with Eddie Jackson, Adrian Amos. When you have confidence, you play faster. Danny Trevathan is just shooting gaps, and he's got the speed. Leonard Floyd coming off the edge. And then Eddie Goldman and Akeem Hicks, I say it every single week, as long as those two are healthy, opposing offensive lines can't stop them. They're just too big. You cannot stop everybody on that front if those two are in there eating up two blockers at a time.
It seemed that the Chicago Bears' game plan on the defensive side of the ball centered around stopping Christian McCaffrey. He every time he touched the ball, a linebacker was on him putting a whack on him. You know, because they did some stuff as screen passes, maybe a draw, maybe a little flip out, whatever it might be. But it just seemed that the pursuit of the linebacking core for this game, you saw that they did everything they can to just guess right on the Carolina Panthers' offense.
And it helps when you have versatile guys like Leonard Floyd who can cover a guy like that. Right? I mean, he's an edge rusher, but he's, you know, if you go back and watch his tape from Georgia, they line him up as a slot corner sometimes. And he would cover small wide receivers and run with them down the field. So that's what they loved with Leonard Floyd. Now, he didn't cover McCaffrey the whole game. I thought Vic Fangio did a good job of changing that up, kind of keeping the Panthers guessing. Sometimes it was Christian Jones. Sometimes you had a safety on him. It was a great game plan of taking that playmaker out of the game. And then meanwhile, you saw the secondary shut down a couple good wide receivers too. So just an all-around great performance with the Bears defense.
Well, Eddie Jackson will get the highlights, of course, for the two pick sixes, which is really about being in the right place, you know, getting that opportunity and going. It wasn't like he made huge plays on the ball. But I will say that I thought, I mean, when you think of Leonard Floyd and drafting him in the top 10 last year and everyone saying, well, he's undersized, can he make it in the NFL? Watching him be able to harass and you know, track Cam Newton down from behind when he's rolling out and do all the things that most linebackers in this league cannot do. It was really impressive, and you see why Leonard Floyd especially can be an elite talent in the NFL.
Well, you're seeing him convert speed to power, which is something his old his outside linebackers coach, Clint Hurt, who's no longer with the team, but I remember talking to him about this last year in training camp when Leonard Floyd was just a rookie and kind of sort of struggling to adjust to the NFL and the much bigger players, much stronger players he was facing just in practice. And the whole thing was, look, he's not the strongest guy, but he has speed, he has crazy athleticism, and there's a way to get offensive linemen off balance if you can use that speed and convert it to power, which is something he's doing right now with his hands. And it's
Pernell McPhee does that very well too.
Yeah, Pernell, and that's another thing. Pernell is playing pretty well.
Yeah.
And I have to be honest, I with his knee issues, and he's got issues with both of his knees, I was not expecting a whole lot from him right now. You know, it's nice when you have a rotation of guys, but they've taken a hit with Willie Young being out. They lost Lamar Houston before the season even started, but they're still, you know, Pernell's been able to play more than I thought and play at a higher level than I thought.
I thought it was very telling that, you know, we've heard this over and over, and we'll talk about it tonight as well, but this idea that the, you know, the wide receivers are hurt or playmakers on the offense are hurt, and that's part of the reason that they don't trust Mitchell Trubisky. But this defense has been decimated as well. Starting safety, Quinton Demps. You have Willie Young, as you just mentioned. Jarrell Freeman and Nick Kukowski, his backup, both out. I mean, there was 2 weeks ago where we're like, we don't even know who's going to be in uniform. And this defense is able to come together with the chemistry they have right now. And I don't know if it's Vic Fangio dialing up more blitzes, which was, I read a stat that this was the most blitz game of the year so far. But whatever it is, it seemed like this unit so far was the most gelled unit that we've seen from a Bears defense.
Well, a couple of things have happened, and this was the most blitzes Vic Fangio has called this season. But so many teams are too quick to pull the trigger on rebuilds, not given enough patience, right? And so what you're seeing here this year is a couple years of talent acquisition cycles start to come together with what they call depth, which is so important. And last year, guys got hurt, and they didn't have depth. Well, this year, they've gone through three different layers of depth at the inside linebacker position. And Christian Jones has been around, and he's seen enough now. He has enough experience. And when he doesn't have to relay the defensive signals, he's just able to go play football, which is what he does well. So when he's out there with Danny Trevathan, that's a perfect example. And then, honestly, you know, Adrian Amos makes a couple plays, gets some confidence. He's been way better than Quentin Demps. That turned out to be an upgrade after that injury. So when you have depth, you took a starter last year in Adrian Amos who wasn't quite playing at high enough level. You bring in a veteran, you push him a little bit more, you threaten his job security. The same thing happened with Kyle Fuller when you sign two veterans off the street to come in and you hand them the starting jobs right away. Well, these young guys, they start to go, well, I better get my butt in gear. And for Kyle Fuller and Adrian Amos, it has turned them into better football players.
Let me ask you this. If I'm the New Orleans Saints and I'm the offensive coordinator, I'm Sean Payton, and that's who the Bears play next week. What are you looking at? What's the weak point of this Bears defense? After they showed up this week and annihilated Cam Newton, what are some of the things you saw on tape, Adam, and said, well, we could have success here?
Well, if you are able to give the quarterback time, and Drew Brees has a knack for, I mean, he's older now, but he still has enough mobility to create throwing windows and escape sacks. The one thing I didn't like, especially in the first half yesterday, was how many third down conversions the Bears gave up. And that's any defense. If you give a quarterback time, then eventually someone's going to get open. So that's really the key, but it's a great question. I don't know that there is a giant weakness right now. A couple weeks ago, I would have said the secondary, look great.
But does Fangio, does he have to stay with this idea of blitzing? I mean, do we are just going to see a blitz-happy Chicago Bears defense? Because they have the speed, and when they're disrupting Cam Newton, he couldn't go downfield. He was taking sacks or checking down. I mean, is that the recipe for success for this defense, is to bring him and bring him often?
Well, it's a week-by-week thing, and you have to be careful being too predictable. And the Saints have kind of developed a decent running game this year. They drafted Kamara from Tennessee that's turned into a pretty good pick for them. So I think that the one thing, the benefit that they had against the Panthers on Sunday was that their running game is really not all that great.
Yeah.
So I think this is a little bit of a different challenge this week with the Saints. You have to be a little bit more worried about that. When you're not worried about the run, you can kind of pin your ears back and get after the quarterback more. So things are going to change week to week, but when you have layers of defense and your defensive line is playing well, your linebackers are playing well, and your secondary is playing well, that just gives you so much versatility and allows you to be unpredictable, which creates takeaways. And that's what we've seen the last 2 weeks with the Bears coming up with six of them.
Amazing. 312-981-7200. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get an update on Rob's news. And when we come back, Adam and I will take your calls and texts. But we'll also talk, I want to talk about Mitchell Trubisky. We already kind of talked about him at the beginning. But also about Ryan Pace and where we're at with this team after, 7 weeks now, where the rookie class was much maligned. I mean, this was one that everyone said, well, what a terrible grade. We are seeing production out of these players in the starting roles. I mean, Eddie Jackson and Mitchell Trubisky, plus a couple others. But we'll also talk about the glaring weaknesses to this team, which is the wideout position, which I'm not even sure where we're at with that. Adam Hogue covers the Bears for WGN Radio, and he will be back with the Monday Evening Quarterback right after the break. Stay with us.
From the 25, 3:18 to play, first half. Deep drop, Trubisky. Trubisky airs it out. Separation, looking for Cohen. He's got it! Cohen cutting to the outside. Cohen's got major speed and he's tripped up. Kevon Seymour saves a touchdown, but a big play downfield, rookie to rookie, for 70 yards.
It's a good place to start for the second half of the Monday Evening Quarterback here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Adam Hogue, WGNRadio.com/Bears, all his great stuff. He is with us every Monday after the Bears game on Sunday to break down the game, but also get your thoughts. 312-981-7200. The texts are lining up. Adam, why don't we start right there? That play, which came after the Bears had a lead, showed us all what Mitch Trubisky could do, hitting Tariq Cohen, got us down first and goal, and then we watched the Bears inch out three different plays and not be able to get in the end zone. and John Fox decides to go for the field goal. What's your take on that drive right there? Because that was something that was a little bit perplexing for us, hoping to see the Bears get offense get in the end zone.
It's funny because the coach's film is finally available to me in the last hour, and I literally just watched that drive while we were in the news break there. So, first of all, it's a great play design on the long hit to Trubisky, from Trubisky to Cohen, because the Panthers have a single high safety back, and the tight end Deion Sims comes across and kind of brings the safety with him, so that left Cohen on one-on-one coverage. And Cohen was basically just a slot receiver in this game. He didn't even get a carry at running back. So if he can beat corners one-on-one, then that shows that he has an ability to be a wide receiver. And as soon as Trubisky saw the safety go with Sims, he launched the ball downfield. It was actually slightly over underthrown.
Yeah, underthrown, yeah.
Trubisky felt like he could, if he led him perfectly, it would have been a touchdown. But it was still a great play. But then a few plays later, you see another play design that just didn't work. They put Tariq Cohen in kind of an end-around situation in motion, and they faked a handoff to him. They kind of sent the whole offensive line to the right side with Cohen, and the Panthers just didn't buy it. So they brought in Taequann Mitchell, who had not played at all yet this season. He was somebody they brought in from the Ravens right as the season started, and he started on the practice squad. So they brought him into the game, and they were obviously trying to catch the Panthers off guard with a new player, and were hoping the defense would go with Cohen, and it just didn't work. They didn't bite on it. So Trubisky decided to tuck the ball and try to beat Julius Peppers to the pylon, which just didn't work. Tanner Gentry came open late on that play, but at that point, Trubisky had already made the decision to tuck the ball.
And then, obviously with the review on that play, you have a fourth and inches, fourth down on the goal line. Some might say, why not go for it in that case? We were talking, I heard Roe talking about that. I mean, why not see what the Bears might be able to do there and put away the Panthers for good?
You know what? I actually liked John Fox's answer to this, which was, tried something on first down, it didn't work. Tried something on second down, it didn't work. Tried something on third down, it didn't work. So what makes you think it would have worked on fourth down? Maybe just some honesty that he doesn't really trust his offense right now. You know what? Actually, all these situations are different, and most times I would say you're inside the one, you go for it, because worst case scenario is they get the ball inside the 1 yard line, and you have a great defense that can maybe create a safety out of that situation. But you know what? At this point, you're up 14-3. I like the decision to make it 17-3. It didn't look like the Panthers were going to have any success offensively, so I didn't. I would have been happy with it either way, I think, but I didn't mind the field goal in that spot.
It brings us back to the issue of trust for John Fox and Dowell Loggins, and maybe they don't trust their quarterback, but it also doesn't feel like they trust the offense. In the way that's a perfect example of a situation in which the coach, even honestly, after the fact in the podium, says that he doesn't. I mean, this idea that the Bears are only going to go as far as they let them. In a way that, these are professional ball players. There's a lot of talent, of course, with Mitchell Trubisky's a rookie. But do you get the sense that the coaching staff trusts this team and trusts the players that are on the field?
Not on offense. No, I don't. I think a lot of it has to do with the lack of wide receivers. And it's, this is a tough spot that Trubisky's entering into. And they had to make the move. No one's disagreeing that. He should be out there. I like that he's learning on the fly. But let's go back to a play we talked about early on in the hour, which was when he took the sack on third down that pushed the Bears back out of field goal range. And that was they tried the 52-yarder, but Barth's kick just barely got nicked and it ended up hitting the crossbar, falling short. That's just a sack you don't want to take. You can't push. When you're in that spot, you have to at least stay in field goal range. But if you look at what happened on that play, Trubisky's first read was to a wide receiver downfield, and it wasn't there. The guy wasn't open. Now, he missed Zach Miller. Zach Miller was open underneath, and I actually just tweeted out the screenshot of that moment where it actually looked like Trubisky looked Miller's way. I don't know if he was worried about the defensive lineman in front of him getting his hands up or whatever, but he didn't pull the trigger. So that goes to show you that Trubisky's still working some things out. You know, it's not all his fault. The wide receiver didn't get open on the play, but you got to hit your tight end underneath, right, and it would have been a first down. So, and he didn't pull the trigger. He ends up taking the sack. So that's just a learning experience. Those plays are going to happen with a rookie quarterback, no matter how good he is.
You know, your article that's on WGNradio.com/Bears right now, Trubisky had an interesting quote, which I guess as a football fan, I don't think about it this way. But when he talks about the idea that there were pass plays called, but he said, we have more pass plays called. I was just pulling them down. Being conservative and taking sacks. I was just trying to play smart, protect the football, and get out of here with a win. So in a lot of ways, there are, you know, the stat sheet's going to show 4 of 7, but he did drop back a couple more times, and he purposely, you know, because he's being coached that way, he's like, he is not going to make a mistake, and he just took the sack.
There's no question that they are coaching him to be conservative and as safe as possible. But at the same time, it's a fine line because you don't want the quarterback to be too afraid to make a mistake. But there's certain situations where you can take a risk. And there was another interesting quote he had last week. Actually, it was either Dowell or Mitch who said this. I think it was Dowell Loggins, the offensive coordinator. On the play in overtime last week against the Ravens, where it was a situation where they had to get the first down and they were going to be punting, Dowell said he actually told Mitch in his headset before the play, hey, don't be afraid to take a risk here. Because, you know, if he throws an interception there, at least they're back in their own territory. It's not the end of the world. Right. And they needed a play. So, he gets that message in his head, don't be afraid to take a risk. And you saw the end result. He made an incredible play, avoiding the pressure, throwing off his back foot, and delivering a strike to Kendall Wright in a huge moment. So, there's no question, I think, that he's afraid to make some mistakes. It's probably why he didn't pull the trigger on that Zach Miller throw that I just talked about, because that's a different situation. But at the same time, the guy was open, so you got to make the throw. And that's just things he's going to – every game, he's only played 3 games.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got to be patient, too, as hard as this is to watch sometimes.
Well, I get it. I want to make sure that John Fox, Dowell Loggins, they aren't coaches that are like, do exactly what we tell you and don't make a mistake, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And make sure that, you know, he's not waiting for that Dowell Loggins thing in his ear that says, now you can take a risk. And then he makes the play that we all want him to make. You know, I hope at some point or another he gets – moving on past that, because he only had 7 attempts. I mean, when you're 4 of 7 and there's chuckles on the SportsCenter stage, you know, when you're watching the NFL wrap up on Sunday and they throw the stat up and the SportsCenter analysts all chuckle at the Bears' futility. Is there any – I mean, it's a win. Right, we won the game 3-4, but it doesn't come with respect for Mitchell Trubisky, and it doesn't come respect for the Bears' offense that mustered up less than 200 yards, didn't get in the end zone. Is there any negative psychological impact? These guys all pay attention to social media; they know what's happening. Do they recognize that it's a win, but it's also pretty ugly?
You know, I think so, but in Trubisky's case, that really does not seem to bother him. And I think we saw that during the whole Mike Glennon saga. I never fully believe players when they say that they don't pay attention to the outside noise. I think there's just human nature to pay attention a little bit. But I don't get the sense that it affects him at all. And the thing is I was driving home last night from the stadium. I was thinking to myself, there's probably going to be a lot of out-of-town stupid here on Trubisky, which is just people who don't watch every play. And I don't blame them. I don't watch every play of every other game throughout the week because I'm concentrating on the Bears. There's just not enough time.
Yeah.
So if you just look at the stats and you just look at the highlights, and there's not many highlights, well, you're going to start to say, well, what's going on with Mitch Trubisky in Chicago? Why is he struggling so much? Why are they holding him back? What's going on? And in reality, we've seen 3 games, and there's really not much to be upset about. He looks like he can play, and if you really evaluate the tape, you see a couple mistakes here and there, but not many. So our frustrations are more, I think, with just the, you know, they're kind of holding him back, and some of that's just human nature from fans that want to see him throw the ball. But I think Trubisky's smart enough to realize that he's not playing all that poorly. And at the same time, you saw him so really hard on himself after the game yesterday. That's kind of just his own, you know, his own attitude that I actually think fans should like. That he's down on himself, right? He's a perfectionist, and he already has the respect from his teammates. So I think they're going to work a lot of this out this week because they know they have to throw the ball against the Saints more.
And the one thing I will say about this, which I think is kind of interesting, and today, you know, at the press conference, I think it was today, John Fox, Coach Fox, talked about the idea that they were referencing a game a while back. They were referencing something against Atlanta and Michael Vick from before in his career. I think it was the game that Chris Winkie started. But this idea of the last time in his career in which there were only 7 pass attempts, and he was talking about as a coach of the Carolina Panthers back in the day. And you think about those teams, and you're like, yeah, they had a lot of success almost in spite of their offense. They had a strong defense, and Jake Delhomme would put up mediocre at best numbers. And then when he moved to Denver, we saw the same kind of football with Tim Tebow. The year that Tim Tebow had was under John Fox, and they went 8-8 or 9-7, and they won the West. They won a playoff game. But we played them that year, and I remember being so just unimpressed with what the Denver Broncos were doing. And even to an extent, the reason he got shipped out of town in Denver before they won the Super Bowl was because they wanted to open it up and try something more on offense. This is John Fox. This is what we expected, I guess, from him. We just didn't know it would play out in a way that it's on a team that is mediocre.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, right?
Yeah, no, it does. And it's a great thing to bring up John Fox's history here and some specific examples like you just did. The difference, obviously, is that Trubisky is better than Tim Tebow.
Right.
He's better than Chris Winkie. And they understand that. They know that. It's not like they're worried that Trubisky can't play. I just think they're being careful because he's a rookie and he's only played 3 games. It's a different situation. That being said, maybe the best part you just brought up was that when they had Peyton Manning, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, John Elway said, "We need a different head coach. We got to open this up a little bit more." And they let Gary Kubiak come in, an offensive guy, and they win a Super Bowl the next year. So that's what I think the big question is at the end of the season. What's best for Mitch Trubisky is maybe developing under John Fox's conservative philosophy right now is okay because
it's limiting
him from disaster and letting him see defenses and let it come to him as slowly as possible when they didn't even really want him playing at this point. But going forward, once he gets through all that and they feel like they can unleash him more, who should be the head coach? That's the question right now. It's complicated because you also don't want to lose Vic Fangio. You definitely don't want to lose Vic Fangio, and his contract's up at the end of this season, by the way.
773 wants to know about the rookie class. We mentioned about nice transition. Great performances so far this season from the rookies. Eddie Jackson had a historic game yesterday. Tariq Cohen with a big play, 70-some-odd yards on the field. Mitchell Trubisky is a starting quarterback. One guy that's mentioned, 773, what happened to Adam Shaheen? And once again, he's on the field. He had a nice block in one case, but not a target, not involved in this offense. Seems like with an offense that doesn't have wideouts, that you would find a way to use 2 tight end sets and get the ball down the seam to Adam Shaheen. What's happening there?
Well, first of all, let me bring up the snap counts here in front of me because it felt like watching the tape that he was playing more. Hang on here. He played 19 snaps on offense, which was 50% of their offensive snaps. So he is getting more playing time, and that is a result. And I've noticed this watching the tape that his blocking's getting better. And did you see that blindside block he had on Jarius Bird?
Now, don't get me wrong. I thought that would get a flag at 15 yards. I thought the NFL was trying to do away with those blindsides.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great hit. It was a great classic football hit, but it seemed like a defenseless player.
But it was face to face, so
is that the rule? Yeah,
I mean, because the guy blocking can't control which direction the safety's head is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if he's looking away, that's kind of on the safety. That's not really if they're face.
It was great, and it also netted about a yard and a half.
Yeah,
Zach Miller didn't really do anything after the block, and I was like, whoa, what a blow! He's down.
Right. but beyond this, that play, I've also noticed at the line of scrimmage, he's blocking better. opening up they're using him in running plays more, and that's the big thing with him that they needed to see to get him on the field. Obviously, the amount of jumbo sets that they're running and 13 personnel with three tight ends is helping get him on the field too. As far as not catching the ball, here's a couple things. First of all, they're not even trying to throw the ball, right. So let's factor that
right,
in.
Right.
When they do, it's not always going to go to the tight ends. And when they do go to the tight ends, there's still two guys ahead of them in the depth chart, and Deion Sims and Zach Miller, that are going to be the options first. So I wouldn't be too concerned that it has so much to do with Shaheen's development at this point as it does, hey, he's still third on the depth chart, and there's two veterans ahead of him, and they're really not throwing the ball anyway. So there's not a whole lot of targets to go around.
All right, let's get some more questions here. What happened to Marcus Cooper? That's the question. Did he just get outplayed? Is Kyle Fuller now the guy on the corner? Is Marcus Cooper a bench player?
Yeah, I mean, Marcus Cooper had an untimely back injury, and Kyle Fuller took full advantage of it. But remember, Prince Amukamara was dealing with something early in the season, and that allowed Kyle Fuller to be on the field, and Kyle Fuller played so well that when Amukamara came back, remember there was, which game was that? A few weeks ago, they were doing that three-corner rotation. Maybe that was against the Steelers a while back. And then Cooper ends up with his back injury, and Amukamara has been playing really good. They're not even targeting Amukamara very much, which tells you that he's having really good coverage. So sometimes, you know, this just happens in the NFL. It's not really your fault. If a 25-year-old former first-round pick all of a sudden looks like he's really, really good and taking that step forward, well, they're not going to go back to the veteran.
Yeah, right.
And give him his spot back. So it's kind of unfortunate timing for Cooper. I think accurately, he's the third best corner on the team.
No one in Chicago is shedding a tear because he's the guy who returned that blocked field goal and dropped the ball before he got in the end zone. So no one's crying about that.
That's true. That's true.
Offensive line, it's a question here. What is up with Kyle Long? That's a question that we have. Kyle Long. And the interior line got all of the pressure. They didn't do a great job. The tackles actually held up as I was looking at the stats, but the interior line of Josh Sitton and Kyle Long and, of course, the center, they didn't do so well.
Yeah, I actually disagreed with Pro Football Focus on the I thought Charles Leno gave up one of the sacks. I might have to go back and look at it from the other angle from the end zone. You get a better look at the line play than when you do just from the game broadcast footage. But look, here's the thing about the offensive line as a whole. If you look across the league, offensive line play is kind of a problem. There's not a whole lot of teams that can really say, hey, we have a great offensive line. So I don't think the Bears' offensive line compared to the rest of the league is terrible.
Is it because defensive players are getting faster and bigger and they can't keep up or what?
It's a great question.
Blitzes or what?
But it also just seems like offensive linemen aren't as good. So I don't know if there's just that's something I can't answer off the top of my head. I have to really think about that. Is it a lack of prospects coming in from the college level? Is it defensive players just getting faster? You know, you're kind of always at a disadvantage in pass protection as you're backing up, and you got fast athletic guys that have the momentum as they come into you. That's a tough job. So there's some things there that I think have to be looked at. But, you know, in terms of this offensive line, I think the word is consistency that's lacking. Consistency is lacking right now. It seems to be – even Josh Sitton, I thought, struggled. And he's had some really good games, and then he's had a couple games where he struggled like he did yesterday. So and Cody Whitehair, despite the snaps, he's had a lot of really good plays. And then there's also one time I saw yesterday on the film – where he got spun around. So it seems like all five guys are having a tendency to break down at any given time, and just they got to come together as a unit. It also doesn't help, though, when the Panthers, who have a decent defense, are loading up the box in the second half like they did.
Always feel better when I talk to Adam Hogue. There's no doubt about it, because he had to walk me off the winning ledge. They win and I'm down, and then I talk to Adam, I feel better. Prospects of winning three in a row. I mean, going into New Orleans is turning, looking more and more like a possible playoff team. They can score points. What's the keys to the Bears winning in New Orleans?
Well, yeah, and I'd have to go back and double check this. I don't think the Bears have won three games in a row since Mark Trestman's first three games in 2013 when they started 3-0. I think that's correct. So this hasn't been done in a long time. The Saints are 4-2. I mentioned earlier the running game has been impressive so far this season. And their defense, too, has taken a step forward. And much like the Bears, their 2017 draft class looks pretty impressive. They're getting contributions from their rookies. So you're going to see a lot of rookies on the field Sunday that can play football. So this is not an easy game to go into the Superdome. But it's a winnable game. I would say it's a winnable game. And as long as their defense is playing the way it is, they're going to have a chance. Real quick, Saints, bye week, Packers without Aaron Rodgers. Let's see how this looks in a few weeks. I know everyone's frustrated with the offense. Let's just see. Let's let a couple of these games play out.
Why you
got to
do that? Why you got to give my hopes up? Now I'm starting, they win here and they win here. We might be,
don't hate winning.
Don't hate winning. That's the takeaway from this week's
segment. Let's go back how we started the hour.
Don't hate winning. All right.
Yeah. That's my advice to you, okay?
Adam Hoge, WGN Radio, covers the Bears. You can find out all his great stuff at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Adam, thanks for joining us, man.
All right, thanks, Justin.